Moncrief on News Talk.
Actors are often blessed or cursed, depending on your point of view, by being closely identified with a particular character. In the case of Dan Butler, that character is Bulldog Briscoe from Frasier. But apart from his extensive screen work, Dan is also a renowned theatre actor with multiple Broadway credits. He's currently appearing in the Gaiety in Dublin in the play Tuesdays with Murray, which is based on that 1997 memoir. Dan, good afternoon to you.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome to Ireland as well, as you're probably sick of hearing people say to you. Tell us a bit about Tuesdays with Murray, because it was, even though it, as a play it's existed for maybe 20 years, but it kind of feels like it's one of those classics, like Our Town, that's been in multiple productions.
Yes. I think it's the perfect time to bring it back, because it seems like we all need to hear these lessons of just getting along with one another, let alone life and death. But I had never read the novel until I found out I had this job. And I'm sort of glad that it waited till then, because I just love to be able to share these ideas and to step into Maury's skin and honor that journey.
Maury has developed ALS and has been a teacher.
Yes,
to a younger character who's now a journalist.
Yes, his former student, Mitch Albom, who had promised to stay in touch but was out of touch for 16 years, and by chance saw a news program that had Maury on it talking about that he only had months to live due to Lou Gehrig's disease. And he got back in touch, and it was really like his last class. It's incredible that, I mean, the play is really cleverly and well constructed, and it's moving, but it's very life affirming, and it's very funny and joyful. So
yeah, indeed. And I did read that in the program for people that there's a mention of Charlie Bird, who was extremely famous journalist, we only lost him relatively recently, had a very similar condition to that. Is this your first time appearing in this particular play? Or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Are you here just to do an Irish production of it, or is it touring around the place?
I think it's, for right now, it's just this. So, you know, this came out of nowhere. It was definitely a gift. And Stephen Jones and I are have formed a really compatible partnership on stage. And it's great to share this, because the audience is always the other character that night. So it changes it. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, want as many people as can to come see it.
And it is a two-hander. So have the two of you met before started rehearsals?
No. I mean, that's what's great about being an actor, because, you know, you step into these, you just take it on faith and go, well, I have no idea what this journey is going to be. And it's turned out to be a splendid one.
So. Yeah, because, I mean, because it's quite an intimate story.
It is.
If you kind of meet an actor and you're going to do something like this, and you go, right, I'm going to be on stage with this person for a couple of hours, and you go, but I hate them. how do you deal with that?
Well, there have been many examples where, hate is a passionate relationship.
That's a strong word.
And but if you can transform that into something that works, that's not the situation here.
No. Yes. We would swiftly point that out. And from a physical point of view, because, you know, the play is kind of tracking Maury's physical decline.
Right.
How do you indicate that to the audience?
Well, we live it and portray it as honestly as we can. And also, it's a great challenge when you just say, well, your body is shutting down, and the only way you can express yourself always as honestly as you can, but you're not able to make any gestures now. It's just what you have to say, and the idea, and your voice is going too, and how can we, that's what just blows me away about Maury's embracing life as long as he can. And this is where I am. And he admits that there are days he's bitter, and there's days he's angry. There are days he's mourning. And then move on. But it's it really is a celebration of life, and helping one another to live as full a life as possible.
Can it be a bit scary, though, playing a role like that? Because one can't help but think, what will it be? You know, how will I feel when I get to that stage in life?
It is. I very rarely do this. Excuse me. But I think all artists are very powerful. Every human being is very powerful if they want to tap into their full power. But that that journey of stepping into someone's journey and being clear, you know, Maury, you know, thank you for letting me step into this journey. I just want to make it a division that this is your journey that I'm stepping into now, and now I'm leaving it.
Right.
Because, yes, our job is to make you believe and be honest to the life of this situation. And that in this instance includes disease and a body shutting down and death. So it's powerful magic we're dealing with.
Yeah. So then as an actor, do you find that relatively easy to say, right, I'm done with this job now, and you're not kind of followed by intimations of mortality having played a role like that?
It's not that so much, but I'm grateful that Stephen, who is in his 30s, feels the same way. We're both, we both have to take care of our energy because we look at this and go, well, this is not, I'm not exerting myself like I have in other parts, but the emotional exertion every night, you know, I would come home from rehearsals and be completely worn out. And, you know, I'd be like kicking myself. Oh, come on. You know, what are you, old or something? but it's just what this calls for.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, obviously, a bulldog, but like, I assume that it would still, because you still look pretty much the same. You've aged about 3 weeks.
Well, thank you very much.
But so presumably you get recognized a lot and probably called Bulldog or whatever people remember your character's name was in Fraser. But from your point of view, is that odd in the sense that, like, I did all these things beforehand, I did all these things afterwards. Bulldog was part of it, obviously, but...
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for it. You know, when I was young, a young actor, I just wanted to do important work and very dramatic, and I wanted it all to be a struggle. And when I did Bulldog, it reminded me to have fun and play and the joy of it all. And, of course, the writers got to say every crass thing they wanted to through my character.
Yeah.
But what has happened so many times in my life that I'm just bowled over, but people come up to me and said, this has happened more than once. My dad was dying of cancer, and we looked forward to laughing at your show. And just to be reminded, the power of laughter is so incredible.
Yeah.
And healing and love. And it's amazing to hear that and thank them and be grateful for it. And the same is true of this show, too, because a lot of humor comes through it.
Yeah.
And I think Maury's sense of humor is very close to Irish humor, as Stephen has pointed out. And it's...
Yeah, well, we do death well here. pretty much, yeah. We're the world leaders at death in this country. Did you think... Fraser was quite a liberal show in its outlook, and your character was like almost the token Republican in it.
No, and I didn't. You know, sometimes you get a motto for your character that helps you, you know, have a foundation. And the motto for Bulldog was, "Oh, come on, you really wish you were me." Come on, you can gripe about what I'm saying and everything, but I'm having a blast with my life, and so why don't you too? I don't care if you say the same things I say, but come on.
Yeah.
So he was never malicious. I don't think there was a malicious bone in his body. He just did not have any governor to what he was saying. It's like the first thing that comes to my mind, I'm going to say it.
Yeah. And was during the run of Fraser that you did the only worst thing you could have told me.
The only thing worse you could have told
me. That's brilliant name.
Thank you.
Brilliant title for a play. Is that like how, I assume you told people, you came out to people individually first before you did the play, or did
I was
you just
never
invite
in.
Them all along?
Yeah, I was never in, but I was doing this. It was ironic that this show was mounted, and we first did it in L.A., then I took it off Broadway. And it was my public coming out for most people.
Mm.
But I was more scared about doing a one-man show and going, well, maybe this means nothing to anyone else. It wasn't, this just happened to be the topic.
Yeah.
But me being out there speaking my writing, yeah, it was great that I was doing that at the same time I'm playing this rabidly heterosexual sports announcer.
As you said, that's acting. That's what acting is all about. The one-man play, was it autobiographical to any degree, or maybe culled from experiences other people had told you?
It was both. Yeah. I thought the very obvious autobiographical bits, people thought that it was another character. I took on about 10 different characters that would contradict one another, sort of just processing. This was in 1994, you know, what being gay means, if anything. And there would be some very dark sections, and my family, I had a recording of my mother that people thought I had recorded a telephone conversation, but we were driving around and I had a cassette player in the front seat, and she's just saying things like, I'm saying, well, have you told my stepdad Joe? And she goes, he does not know you're gay. I go, he does? No, he does not. I go, well, with Tim staying over and us sleeping in the same bed, well, he never knows where you sleep. No, he does. And she goes on and on, and it's pretty funny. And then she goes, you know, sometime I might, but he just thinks you're great. And I wouldn't.
Mm. Mm.
And she didn't finish that sentence. And in the play, I just repeated it. He just thinks you're great. And I wouldn't. And I went, wouldn't what?
God, which I suppose you didn't need to finish the sentence to know what its meaning was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And in the play, was it because, as you just said, you were always out. So people's experience of coming out is on a scale. Do you think, in the sense, it can be very traumatic for people. Others, sure, we knew all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I dedicated it to a friend of mine who, when he was growing up in Texas, he would get up every morning, or after school every morning, he'd go out to it was like a granite pit outside of town, and scream for God to kill him because he was gay.
Yeah.
And then when he finally came out to his folks, they said, we knew, we don't care.
Yeah.
And he died of AIDS, unfortunately, and he would blame himself that I put all this anger and venom into self-hate, and they loved me all the time and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
So to just, you know, it was processing all the voices that go through your head at that time. And I just had remounted it for a friend's charity event, and thinking it was dated, but it is still so timely. That was so strong to me. And, you know, it's just about loving ourselves.
Yeah. It's very striking that you say it's still timely, because sometimes you get the sense that in the US things haven't changed. You think they've changed, and then it kind of snaps back again.
Yeah. I only have the experience of being in America. I would think there's a form of it everywhere, that you have advancement and then the pendulum swings in reaction to it, and then it comes back, and you just hope that some things stick. And that's what I love about Tuesdays with Maury, that you can't look within the play. You can't look to the culture to provide things that are really going to carry you through life. You've got to find them yourself. And some of these come from that inner voice that is so shouted down by everything around you. And it really takes you connecting with people and rediscovering what is important, love and kindness and honoring one another and being quiet and hearing that voice and just accepting what life has dealt you and go, okay, have a sense of humor, have a sense of life and move on and do the best you can.
Yeah. In an election year in your country, do you get a sense of the atmosphere becoming heightened, more polarized, more angry?
Well, I know I have to wake up and do my own daily ritual before reading the news, because if I read the news first, I tumble into anger or frustration or something like that. And again, it just takes it's the worst and the best of being an American. That these voices have always been there. Yeah. I am amazed we have stayed together, all these states, for as long as we have. So I am heartened when I read our history and go, oh my gosh, you know, it hasn't changed that much. It just seems so loud. And this is our experience of it.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thanks a million for coming into us. Somebody has texted in to say, I used to love Dan in Hey Arnold. Used to watch it on a network too every day after school. Yeah, that's a more depressing bit. I used to watch you when you were in the school. Afternoons at Maury is running in the Gaiety Theatre. And there are still tickets available for this evening.
Oh, this evening, Monday. Come see it because the tickets are selling out for the rest of the week. So come tonight. Tonight.
And then after the Gaiety, where are you off to with it?
We are, I'm going to get the theatres wrong, but we're in Cork. One of those times we're at the Everyman. And there's the Watergate. Is that the Watergate Theatre in one of those towns? And then Kilkenny.
And then we're Kilkenny. Also there. All right, good stuff. Dan, thanks so much for coming
very much.
Today. That was Dan Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.